Chael Westfall hates the sound of wheels, specifically those on the chair that has become both prison and pathway since losing the use of his legs. As the newly appointed hand to King Dorian of Adderlin, he arrives in the magnificent southern empire of Antica with Captain Nezrin Falik, ostensibly on a diplomatic mission. In reality, he desperately seeks healing from the legendary Torre Sesme healers, though he guards this hope closely, afraid to let it take root. The southern continent presents a stark contrast to his homeland, a vibrant tapestry of cultures where magic flows freely. The Coggins court pulses with intrigue as his five royal children maneuver for position, each seeing Chael as either opportunity or obstacle. Pride has always been Chael's shield, now his greatest burden. He struggles to navigate a world not designed for his wheelchair. Every threshold becomes a battle, each instance of needed help feeling like another crack in his carefully constructed walls. When introduced to Yurine Towers, the Torre's most gifted healer, Chael faces another obstacle, her deep-seated hatred for anyone from Adderlin, the empire that burned her mother alive. Their first meeting crackles with tension, as Yurine's clinical assessment barely masks her contempt. Yet beneath her hostility lies extraordinary power, perhaps the only magic capable of healing his shattered spine. Yurine Towers, the Torre's most promising student, carries deep scars from watching Adarlan's soldiers burn her mother alive. Now, she faces an impossible test: heal the very embodiment of what she despises. Guided by the words, "The world needs more healers," from a mysterious scarred woman who once saved her, Yurine reluctantly agrees to treat Chael. What begins as obligation evolves into something far more complex as their sessions force both to confront painful truths. The physical healing becomes a metaphor for emotional recovery. Yurine discovers Chul's injury isn't just physical, it's darkness left by Valg magic that feeds on his guilt. To heal his body, she must first help heal his spirit. Their sessions become battlegrounds where her light magic confronts the parasitic darkness. She pushes him to face his deepest regrets about Queen Aelin, King Dorian, and his father's abuse. With each burden acknowledged, the darkness recedes, allowing improvement. While Chael and Yurine navigate their relationship, Nezrin ventures into the Tavan Mountains with Prince Sartak, commander of the Rook Riders. Their diplomatic mission quickly transforms when they uncover ancient enemies stirring. The Rukkan warriors who ride massive birds of prey live in magnificent mountain areas where skill matters more than birth status. Among these warriors, particularly Sartak's hearth sister Borte, Nezrin finds acceptance she never experienced in Adarlin, a sense of belonging that feels like coming home. Their investigation reveals missing ruck eggs taken by Kurankui, massive intelligent spiders awakened after centuries of dormancy. With Falcon Anar, a shapeshifter, they venture into spider territory to understand this sudden activity. What they discover is shocking. Queen Maeve of the Fae is actually a Valg queen who fled her husband, King Orcus, through a word gate in these mountains. She used mind control to infiltrate Fae society, and when the Valg kings pursued her, she stole their word keys before Brannan eventually took them from her. In Antica, Chael makes remarkable progress under Yurine's care, gradually regaining sensation in his legs. She provokes him into standing through anger, proving his body can heal despite his mind's resistance. This breakthrough leads to their first passionate kiss, acknowledging their growing feelings despite complicated histories. Their work is disrupted by alarming events: a murdered healer, stolen Valg texts, and a sense of being watched. When Yurine is attacked on her way to Chael's chambers, they realize their research has attracted dangerous attention. At Princess Hasar's birthday celebration at the Ixara Oasis, they discover ancient carvings revealing the Torre Sesme was built on Fae ruins from the First Demon War. The Fae had bred healing magic into human bloodlines as a weapon against the Valg, a defense hidden for centuries. This explains why Vogue targeted healers. They possess magic that can drive out Vogue possession, making them Erewhon's most feared enemies. As Chul's physical healing progresses, his emotional healing reaches a critical point. The darkness in his spine has largely retreated, except for a stubborn knot representing his shame over abandoning King Dorian. During an intense session, Yurine forces Chul to confront this darkness directly. It responds with horrific visions: a woman burning alive, a broken body on palace steps, a head rolling across marble floors, taunting him with his failures and regrets. Yet within this darkness, Chul realizes a crucial truth. This breaking isn't his end. With Yurine's guidance, he begins to accept the darkness not as an enemy to defeat, but as a part of himself to acknowledge, and then fill with hope, love, and purpose. "I didn't want you to parade me around," he had once told Yurine bitterly about his disability. Now he understands that accepting help isn't weakness. It's another form of strength, perhaps the most difficult kind to master. Their triumph is short-lived. While investigating Hafiz's disappearance, Chul and Yurine discover hidden tunnels beneath the Torre connecting to the palace, revealing Princess Duva is possessed by a Vogue demon. The confrontation exposes Duva as the murderer of Princess Tamulin and destroyer of ancient texts. The demon confirms the tunnels were built by Fae fleeing from Queen Maeve, validating Maeve's true identity. It reveals Yurine is Silba's heir, a healer whose rare gifts terrify Erewhon, explaining why he sent Duva as a spy. In the battle, Chul is mortally wounded protecting Yurine. As his life fades, Yurine faces her greatest test. Through Hafiza, a mysterious voice declares healing such wounds requires a cost, which Yurine immediately accepts. The price binds their lives together, sharing one thread. Yurine's magic allows Chul to walk when her power is strongest, but he requires a cane or wheelchair when her magic wanes. The final confrontation brings the Khagan face to face with the threat Chul described. When Yurine drives the Vogue demon from Duva's body, saving both the princess and her unborn child, the Khagan offers her anything. She simply asks for a favor. That favor becomes the war's turning point. 2 weeks later, 1,000 ships filled with the Khagan soldiers sail from Antika, with 1,000 Rukin flying above, only half the full force still gathering. This armada represents hope for the northern continent against Erewhon. Personal relationships solidify alongside political alliances. Nesrine and Prince Sartok acknowledge their feelings, with Sartok promising they'll return together after defeating Erewhon. Most importantly, Chul and Yurine have married, their bond forged through healing and hardship. Standing on the ship's deck beside his wife, Chul feels no regret. He has found his light, healing, and purpose, not despite his injury, but because of the journey it forced him to take. Sometimes we must be broken open to let the light in, illuminating unexpected paths.